Once upon a time, there was a knight who was so fearsome that no other knight would want to face him in battle. He fought so fiercely that most knights would rather turn around and run in the other direction than face him off in a battle. But this knight had a secret that nobody else knew about. In fact, he had a secret that he kept so closely guarded that it would be hard to imagine how anybody could have found out about it. And the secret was this. The knight had a crack in his armour. A crack in his armour that ran all the way down one side. All the way from his armpit down to his hip. Why? If anyone managed to get a sword in that crack, he'd be dead. If anyone managed to spear him in that crack, why, that knight who was so fierce and who was so feared would no longer be quite so fearsome to face. And that was why, every time he went into battle, he would keep his shield, that was especially strong and especially long, pressed firmly against his side, so that nobody had a chance of getting close to that crack. Nobody had a chance even of discovering that it was there. And that was why he was so fierce, you see. Because with only one arm to fight with, he had to make up for it by being extra fearsome and extra scary. And because of this, nobody had a clue that there was some kind of crack in there that he was trying to conceal. However, one time, he gets so sick of hiding his crack that he decides the time has come to do something about it. He's not quite sure who to ask, so he goes to his general. The general who's in charge of him, who tells him what to do in the battles. He goes to the general and he says, "Listen, I've got a problem." And he tells the general the whole story. And at first the general's rather amazed. "You mean you've had this crack all these years? And you've never told me?" "Well," said the knight, "I was kind of embarrassed about it."
"Well, haven't you done something about it?" said the general. Haven't you taken your armour to a blacksmith?"
"Yes," said the knight, "I've tried that. I've tried every single blacksmith in town. And each one of them, they tell me it's perfectly fixed. They send me home with it. But as soon as I put it on, why, it cracks again."
"Well, have you tried a coppersmith?" said the general.
"Yes, yes, I've heard they're good with cracks. Well, I've tried all the coppersmiths I could find. And each one of them tells me they're an expert in fixing this kind of thing. And each one of them sends me home with an apparently fixed piece of armour. But no sooner do I put it on than the crack is there again. It seems like I'm destined always to have this crack in my armour. And to be quite honest with you, I'm fed up with it." Well, the general, he gets very thoughtful when he hears this from the knight. He gets very thoughtful and he puts his hand upon his chin and he seems to be thinking hard about something. And then he says to the knight, "Now listen, I think there's only one person that can possibly help you. And she lives in the forest and she's a witch."
"A witch?" says the knight.
"Yes, she's a witch and she's the only person I can think of that could possibly do you any good. But to find her house, you have to get lost first."
"Get lost?" says the knight.
"Yes, you can't get there by trying to get there. No, you have to go into the forest and you have to get lost." So that's what he does. He goes into the forest with all his armour on, and he's clinkety-clankety-clinkety-clankety walking through the forest, clinkety-clankety-clinkety-clankety-clinkety-clankety-clinkety, until the whole of the forest knows that there's someone walking through the forest with a great deal of armour on, clinkety-clankety-clinkety-clankety-clinkety-clankety-clinkety, and all the while he's thinking, "Well, I won't try and get anywhere, I'll just try and get lost," and before long, clinkety-clankety-clinkety-clankety-clankety-clankety, he is really quite lost, and hasn't the faintest idea even of where he is, let alone where he's going. And he's walking this way and that way in a clinkety clinkety clankety clinkety clankety clinkety 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 clankety clinkety clankety clinkety clank. No, he's well and truly lost. And it's just then that he sees the witch's house. And it's all grey and hidden in the bushes. There's a thin line of smoke coming out the chimney. It's all tumbled down and rubbish all around it. He thinks that has to be the house of the witch. And he goes to the door and he makes to knock on it, but it opens before he has a chance to rap upon the wood. And there's the old witch standing there with her lank grey hair, a little form staring up at him with her shiny little face. She says, "Welcome! I've been expecting you." "You have?" says the knight. And already she's pulling him by the sleeve into the kitchen. Already she's sitting him down at the table and said, "Yes, so you'll be having some tea, won't you?" And before he can answer, she's already bustled off to the teapot, is already filling it up with strange-looking leaves, is already boiling up the water, ready for the tea. And before long, he's sitting there with a steaming mug of tea in front of him, and he's drinking it, and although it tastes strange and sweet and sickly all at once, he doesn't mind, because it's so warm, and it's so welcoming, and it's so cosy there. Before long, he's feeling drowsy. He's feeling drowsy and his eyelids feel ever so heavy. And she's sitting across from him and watching him as his head becomes heavier and heavier until, at last, it goes, ka-boom, on the table. And as soon as he's asleep, the witch, she lifts him up and she gets his armour off him. She's small, but she's strong, and she's done this before. She gets his armour off him, and she looks at it very carefully. And before long, she's found the crack that runs all the way up the side of his armour. And she gets some wax. She gets some wax, and she smooths it all upon the length of the crack. So there's no sharp edges there, so it's all lovely and smooth. And then she gets some oils that have been pressed from the sweetest smelling flowers in the meadows around and about there. And she smooths these oils into the wax, so the whole thing is sweet smelling there. So it smells like you're standing in the middle of a meadow with lovely flowers all around you. And then she takes some petals, the prettiest petals of the loveliest flowers that she could find growing in the forest thereabouts, and she sprinkles them all the way along that crack, so that it's not just smooth, it's not just sweet-smelling, but it looks lovely too. And when she's done all of this, why, she puts the armour back on him. She puts the armour back on him. She puts him back, sits him back at the table. And she whispers in his ear, "Wake up." And the knight opens his eyes and he comes to and he can feel that something's a little different, but he doesn't know what it is. He said, "Oh, was I sleeping?" She says, "Look at your armour." And he looks down at his armour and the crack that runs along the side of his body. And he sees that it's all smooth and sweet-smelling and looks lovely. He says, "What have you done?" "Well," she says, "I haven't fixed the crack in your armour, but I've made it a bit easier for you to live with it." And he looks down and he rather likes it. He feels it with his fingers and it's so smooth. And he likes the smell and the look of it. And he goes back through the forest back home and he's never felt so pleased in all of his life. He can't stop feeling proud of himself. And the next time he goes into battle, why, he does something most unusual. He takes his shield away from his side. So it's clear what's there. And anybody can see it. And the first man who does so, he says, "What's that? What's that?" And he so admires it, how smooth it is, how sweet smelling, and all those lovely flowers all the way along it, that he stops and he gets off his horse and he comes down and wants to examine it. And before long, the others have come over and they say, "What are you looking at?" And he says, "Look at this." And they're all gathering round and they're looking and they're asking questions about how it came to be there and what kind of treatment he's had for it. And the knight, he says, "Well, I'll tell you, but it's quite a long story." And they all want to hear it. And they all sit down on the grass and he tells them about how long that crack's been there in his armour and how it was that he finally went and saw the witch and she did what she did for him. And you know what happens next? Well, it turns out that all the knights have cracks in their armour somewhere or other. One's got it behind his knee and the other one's got it on one side of his neck, and they've all been fighting in such a way that nobody has ever found out before. Turns out they've all been fighting pretty fiercely with those cracks and all to protect like that. And then they all want to know, how do you get to see the witch and where do you find her? And he tells them, and they all go off into the forest and get lost and find the witch's house. And I do believe she fixed them all up. She fixed them all up so they had the same kind of treatment as he did. And I do believe that after that, those knights, they'd get together and they'd argue about who had the finest and the sweetest smelling and the smoothest crack in their armour. And they'd argue and they'd fight about it and end up howling and swearing at each other, but it never came to battling. No, before they got to battling, why, they'd all collapse in heaps of laughter and poking fun at each other. And from that day forth, there were no great battles between those knights. From that day forth, there were no great battles between those.